You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Pat Kreutlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreutlow, will be joining us. We're going to talk about some little shakeup in the Wisconsin GOP.
Indeed. As one letter said, the quiet part was said out loud, I guess. So we'll find out more in a little while with
in
Pat.
In disarray.
Ooh,
array. Disarray. also, he said he wouldn't touch the White House.
Well, to be fair, Jane, he didn't. So there's that.
Donald Trump said his big blob of a billionaire ballroom wasn't going to affect the actual White House structure. Of course, that was a lie.
A complete lie.
There were photos from yesterday showing the destruction of part of the East Wing, which is where the First Lady used to have her offices.
She's in Florida.
Or New York.
We'll talk more about that with Pat as well. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And it's really interesting seeing some of the justification from people on the right.
Of course, that's what they have to do. But
fascinating stuff. Coming up next hour after the 10 o'clock news, the fallout continues now from the comment that Donald Trump made about importing Argentine beef.
That was one that was not on the bingo card at all.
Yeah. This is not playing well.
No.
Not a surprise among American beef producers.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that after 10 o'clock. Also, oopsie doodles. I think this is what happens when you hire people who aren't qualified. Some little mistakes made by one of the Trump administration lawyers. Kind of a basic that you would have thought she would have known about. But again, she doesn't have any experience. Yeah. So we'll kick that around next hour. And then for the last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we'll lighten it up with Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about sillier things. Today, we're going to talk about how you approach chores.
Yes.
I'm going to get up on Saturday morning and I'm going to have my coffee. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to do X and B and C and Q and do all these things.
Yeah.
Do you parse it out? Over. Do a little at a time?
Yeah.
How do you approach chores?
How do you chore? Yeah.
That is our Audio Sorbet question for today. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Buzz Off edition. So stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off and at least acknowledge that I'm really, really grateful this morning that we didn't have to come on the air and talk about another mass shooting in America.
Yeah.
This after authorities in Atlanta say they stopped a mass shooting at the Atlanta airport. A man's family tipped off police.
Wow.
They found an AR-15 with 27 rounds of ammo in his truck parked outside the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. If his family had not called, this could have been a huge tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Cagle, 49, arrested on suspicion of making terroristic threats, criminal attempt to commit aggravated assault, as well as firearms charges. They're trying to identify a motive. They do say he has mental challenges, but did not give specifics. He wrote on Facebook on Sunday, "I told my kids if anything happens to me, sue, they can get $50 to $100 million.
Yeah, that's...
His family alerted police in a town northwest of Atlanta that he was live streaming his plans to do this shooting on social media. He was headed to the airport to shoot it up. His family said he was in possession of an assault rifle. What was unknown at that time is that he was already at the airport.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, tragedy averted.
Yeah.
This could be a much, much different thing had his family not called and given law enforcement a heads up. So let's be grateful for that.
I mean, yeah, that's, there's so much within this story, you know, like good on the family. Thank you to the police and the authorities who responded and took and prevented this. The mayor of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, says we're standing here right now talking about tragedy averted instead of 27 plus lives that lost or injured in the world's busiest airport. I mean, there's so much in something that was terrible. Good came of it, but also, and I'll never defend someone's choice to do these things. But this is also a commentary on mental health access, healthcare access, things people need. And if this man faced mental challenges, that's something I think is worth discussing. Okay, every time there's a mass shooting and we lose life, it's tragic. And we get lost in the minutiae of thoughts and prayers. Don't make it political. Don't say anything. It's too soon. The back and forth that we do every single time, like it's the first time. But this is a time where it was averted and it's taken care of. He will be dealt with legally. Like he will get, like the law will handle him.
Right.
Okay. He had mental challenges. Now we can talk about it because no lives were lost. Nobody was hurt. Everything was done correctly, but we're still sitting with this man who faces problems.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. We can do that now.
Well, and let's talk about funding for healthcare,
which is something both sides always talk about. We need to talk about mental health. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Where I'm sitting here, I'll buy the first round of coffee.
Yep.
Let's talk about mental health in this country.
And how we pay for it.
Yep. Nope. Nope. That's not what we do. That's not what we ever do.
Unfortunately not. At the same time, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop. And I would love to know if this is something that you would like as a resident of Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. Wisconsin Republicans introduce bill to allow concealed carry without a permit. A group of Republicans introducing measures at expanding access to firearms, including allowing for concealed carry without a license and strengthening language around the right to bear arms in the Wisconsin Constitution. The proposals include making firearms, ammunition, crossbows, and more merchandise exempt from sales tax every year on the 4th of July and during the third week of December, so I guess you can arm up before Christmas. For many Wisconsinites, firearm and archery traditions are more than recreation. They're a way of life passed down through the state, according to Senator Andre Jacques and State Representative Chance Green. Hunting, sports shooting, and self-defense are deeply woven into the fabric of our communities. The two also proposed eliminating permit requirements for firearm owners who want to carry concealed weapons.
Okay.
Under the bill, law-abiding adults won't need a license to carry a concealed firearm in public. Is this something that you would like in Wisconsin? 855-752-4842.
I would second a follow-up question. Is this something you want? Is this something that we need to talk about with regard to all the concerns?
I'm wondering where this came from, because according to Marquette University, and they do their law school polls.
Oh, yes.
Most Wisconsinites do not want this.
Most
Wisconsinites actually would like universal background checks and red flag laws.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I have heard constituents want, not this.
We've been talking about it since we were blue in the face, and we're blue in the face, however you want to say it, is that most of this country agrees that sensible, logical gun safety measures should be in place to make sure. And don't give me, well, how does that change anything? Well, we got to start somewhere. And also, the law school poll shows that people are in favor of certain measures to strengthen the safety protocols on accessing firearms. What you don't see, and I have not heard Dan Schaefer ever talk, because we always break down that Marquette poll, when they ask people in Wisconsin what concerns you most in the state, top three answers are never gun access. It's never, you know, my kids' education, price of groceries, and I can't get enough guns. Also, as far as the Wisconsin Constitution, this is what it says. Article 1, Section 25 of the Wisconsin Declaration of Rights. The people have the rights to keep and bear arms for security, defense, hunting, recreation, or any other lawful purpose. I don't know how you, quote, strengthen that anymore. I don't know how, like.
Yeah, that's kind of what these changes that they're proposing are kind of already in there.
And when you are a hunter, I'm also tired of hunting as a lifelong tradition here in the state and the country. Yeah, it is. I understand that. It's a tradition passed down from parents to child through the generations. Fine, whatever. Hunt if you want. But not in the same sentence say people need to access, people need to be able to conceal carry too. Because I know a lot of hunters who are keeping that rifle underneath their jacket just in case a deer pops out of the quick trip. This is ridiculous. They are using a very logical form of gun access, hunting, and protection, but they just want people to carry a gun on their hip wherever they go because everyone wants to be John Wayne.
Well, it might be on your hip, but under your jacket.
Yes, exactly.
855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire, you're going to start things off. Thank you for joining us. What do you think about this?
This is my opinion. Now, this is a case for people needing mental health care immediately. We need to get that covered, and we need to get them assessed because this is ridiculous. People, it's easy for people to get those carry permits if they should be able to pass, you know, what they need to do and to be checked out on. I have family members that have those, and they need to have those.
Mm-hmm.
This is outrageous. I'll tell you something. This is nuts. And somebody once said to me, and I thought they were goofy, they said to me, they're trying to kill us all off or create so much chaos, I don't know. So thank you very much for bringing this up.
Yeah.
Boy, I hope people get out there and vote these people out of office. We need safety in our country. You have a good day, and thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Bob in Eau Claire texting in, listening on WCFW. I think we should have unlimited access to any gun widely available in 1776.
I saw a bumper sticker that said Second Amendment like it was like it's 1776. So I'm like, what, you want muskets? Like, you want to run around with a musket?
One-shot muskets.
One shot, and then you get 2 to 3 minutes to reload. But also, I think what Gene's talking about is, I don't know about, I don't subscribe to the whole, like, they're letting us kill each other thing. I think it's that they're pacifying us with these things. As long as they can say, hey, you get your guns, man, and you get this, man, and we won't be in your business. Well, they're in our business, but the gun shouldn't be the carrot.
Wisconsin Republicans want to circulate a bill introducing a measure that would allow concealed carry without a permit. We would love to hear from you. Is this something that you want? 855-752-4842. Brett and Ollie, I see you. We will take you when we come back on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our one, our only Calzone on the board. coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is an article from the Wisconsin Examiner, Mary Beth Danielson, with the byline. It is a commentary piece that says, is there freedom of speech in Muskego?
It's an interesting story.
It's a very interesting story, and we're going to include this in our show notes.
Yes.
So you can find it after the show is over. Go to civicmedia.us, look at the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt Nair on Air, click on that, and then there's an archive of about the last 2 months worth of shows. Greg puts together all the show notes with all the articles that we talk about if you want to read further. I highly encourage you to read this article.
Please read this one and share it.
Jim Brownlow says he remembers that on January 6th of this year, he wrote with red, white, and blue chalk on the sidewalk in front of the Muskego Post Office, remember January 6th every November.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, police came to his door. The property manager of the post office building, someone had vandalized the sidewalk, and he had to hire a cleaning service to clean it up. It was chalk.
It's chalk.
When the officers asked Brownlow if he had chalked the sidewalk, he said he had exercised his constitutionally protected free speech. He also said chalk can be washed off with soapy water in a broom. Well, yeah, it's
or one rainfall and just wait.
2 weeks later, a different officer called him to tell him to come to the police station to ask sir more questions. Brownlow said no, he was busy. The officer said he'd call next week. On February 4th, a new officer called. Brownlow said he'd already said all he had to say. Within an hour, three police officers and two squad cars showed up at his house. This is after he wrote in chalk, remember January 6th every November in front of the post office. Mm-hmm. That's what he wrote.
That's it. Nothing. No cuss words.
No swearing.
Didn't paint
it. No threats.
Didn't use a non-removable spray paint. This was children's sidewalk chalk.
Three officers and two squads show up at his house. Brownlow and his wife invited them in. It was cold. One of the officers said he was charged with criminal damage to property under $1,000 and was now under arrest and had to go to the station. Brownlow said he wouldn't do that without his attorney. He also said he wouldn't resist because he's 76 and doesn't want to break anything. Officers emptied his pockets, patted him down, cuffed him, took him out the front door, drove him to the police station, cuffed to a bench. They handed him a summons to appear in court March 12th. At that time, Brownlow said he wouldn't pay guilty and pay a $900 fine, so he was given a trial date in August. 6 months later, before he could submit a motion to dismiss, this Muskego prosecutor told the judge the criminal damage charge had been dropped because it couldn't be proven in court.
Well, Jane, it's over, right?
No.
Oh.
Immediately, before Brownlow could figure out what was happening, they turned around and charged him with disorderly conduct. Same moment, same courtroom, same incident, same judge and prosecutor. He has a new court date now of November 7th.
And Jim Brownlow, you're going to read in this article, is not a, he's not an Antifa.
Oh, no.
He's not a recluse. He is a man who retired in his career as a middle school librarian. And I we don't have time to go over that, but the charges and the accusations people make against him for what he did, which once again was writing words in chalk on a sidewalk in front of a post office, all protected under the First Amendment, we thought, he has perfect responses to all of this. I really, really encourage you to go. In fact, you know what I'm going to do, Jane? I'm post this in the socials too.
Great.
Because we're talking about a lot of great things today, but I feel like that this article is a perfect example of people standing up for themselves and powers that be becoming scared and overreacting. I mean, this is time and money and energy. This is not just some like, oh, we're going to slap the cuffs on you. Take it. Like, he's in court. He's talking to lawyers. This is a waste. This is waste and abuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Again, what was the horrific thing he wrote?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote in red, white, and blue chalk in front of the Muskego Post Office, remember January 6th every November.
That's it. Tell
wow.
me.
That was, wow.
Tell me. The people who dislike us, because I know you're listening and watching. And by the way, as always, thank you for giving us your time. You don't have to do this. Tell us why this is such a chargeable offense, why this is so horrific, and why you're not, why you don't believe this counts as freedom of speech. I need to know this, because to me, it's these little things that are happening. People are getting, and these are intimidation tactics.
Without a doubt. And as you said, this is going to cost Mr. Brownlow money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they do.
Yeah.
This is how you go after people. You might not necessarily end up with them in jail, mm-hmm. but you can bankrupt them.
And also, from a municipality standpoint, it's also costing the taxpayers.
Well, Cassandra says, I can't imagine how these cops feel. What a waste of their time.
I know. I mean,
you send three officers there in two separate squad cars. Because he's a dangerous criminal?
He's a 76-year-old man who made the comment that he didn't want to resist because he was afraid he'd break something. First of all, kudos for the joke. That was wonderful. But this is where we're at. This is where we're at. This is how it begins. And I need to know from people. Email it in. Jane says at Civic Media. Tell me why what's happening to this man right now is good, justified, and makes us better as a nation.
PJ on the live stream says, this is one of those stories that shouldn't be a thing. You're absolutely right. News is coming up next, and then when we return, all the best commutations. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the one, the only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and take a breath, because we all need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Tactical frivolity.
Yes.
I like that
phrase.
It's
almost like we're cleaning your ears with fun.
Exactly. So today we're going to argue about breakfast. we were talking this morning, as we always do. This is how we come around to audio sorbets.
Yeah.
It is very much a organic process.
Is it audio sorbets or audios sorbet?
Oh, good question.
You're not going to stop thinking about that one now, are you?
Oh, yeah. Planted that seed. Today is Chicken and Waffle Day.
Yeah.
National Chicken and Waffle Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about chicken and waffles. And for myself, personally, yeah. I love both those things.
Yes.
I love fried chicken.
Yes.
And I really like waffles.
Yeah.
I would not have them together.
Why?
Because
that's a great answer. Do you want to work for the Trump administration?
Chicken does not belong at breakfast.
But that's entirely untrue.
See that I don't think
does
chicken
fried chicken not belong at breakfast?
No.
Okay.
Just chicken in general. Would you ever get up and say, I want a piece of chicken for breakfast?
Where do you get your eggs from?
That's a different form of chicken.
I'm working within the halls of your logic right now, ma'am.
Then this morphed into, you were talking about the McGriddle.
Well,
you and Calvin got into a big exchange about this.
Well, first of all, I was just, once again, I just want to state for the record, once again, I was stating my opinion, Miss Jane Matt Nair.
To which
and
you
then
are
Calvin
entitled.
Calvin came all gallivanting in with his, I don't know, like, what are you, you're a zoomer, boomer? I have no idea. But with your charm and your intellect and your fancy-free lifestyle telling me I'm wrong. But my point was this. is that if I get chicken and waffles, which I don't get often because I feel like there are places that make it really well and other places who throw a waffle in a toaster and throw a piece of chicken on, and they're like, that'll be $14.95, please. When I get chicken and waffles, I never put syrup on it. I always put hot sauce. I put savory things on top of it to enhance the flavor. I do not like sweet with my breakfast, unless the pancakes come with the breakfast, and I ain't crazy. But I don't mix the two. I don't do sweet with my savory breakfast, and I don't do sweet breakfast, period. And I think that led me into why I think the McGriddle is a psyop that is here to destroy our family units, because they take a waffle and throw syrup in there, and they're like, hey, why don't you put your eggs and your bacon in there? It's really good taste. It's not. It's here to disregard our laws and to mislead our children to a life of criminality and not goodness.
So you are
my opinion.
You are against sweet with your savory when it comes to breakfast.
Correct.
Calvin, would you like to weigh in on this?
Would you like to tell me why you're wrong?
Well, now I just have questions.
Mm.
So you're fine with sweet and savory together if it's not for breakfast?
Actually, well, honestly, well, I don't really do sweet at all unless it's a dessert. And the only sweet and savory I go for with dessert is like a sea salt caramel type of thing. But like if I get, you know, like sea salt caramel ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But like if dinner, I'll never order a sweet thing.
You don't like honey barbecue or honey mustard?
No, I don't usually get that. No.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
You don't like, I've heard you talk about jelly or jam with cheese and crackers.
You have? When?
I could
have
swore you said you're into that kind of thing.
I think you were looking at the internet again.
Greg, I'm sorry. You're right.
No, I mean, I'm willing to mix certain things for a moment, but it's one, it's just usually to try it. Like, I'll give you an example. And I promise you it's better than it sounds. My friends Aaron and Michelle have been married for what seems like years. They have this treat that they bring to all the family functions, and I made fun of it until I tried it. It's a green grape skewered with a little tiny little bit of cheese, grapes and cheese. And it's tasty. It's wonderful. I only have it when I see them. That's it. But it's not something I seek out. It's not something I want. It's not something I, you know, evangelize over. Those are the moments where I can do it, but it's never something I choose. I will never go to a restaurant and pay money for a sweet meal. Or I will never mix my sweet and savory.
So you wouldn't go, because I love waffles.
Yeah.
And I like a nice pecan waffle.
Okay.
For breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With syrup.
Great.
And that's a sweet thing.
That's great. And
that's okay?
That's, well, who cares what I think? that's my whole point. My opinion has never shifted anything for anyone.
That's true.
Period. I'm adamant about what I like. And when I'm told I'm wrong, as Calvin did tell me earlier this month, did you not say you're wrong?
Specifically talking about your theory that McDonald's is perpetuating sweetness as in breakfast foods for some ulterior nefarious method.
Conspiracy
theory. I said what I said.
You have a conspiracy theory about the McGriddle.
I said what I said.
Do you do sweet with your savory for breakfast? And just as a, how do you feel about the McGriddle? 855-752-4842. Breakfast Wars is our discussion today on Audio Sorbet. 855-752-4842. Casper in Madison, liquid chicken. That's what I call eggs.
Calvin, you also said you really just don't do breakfast at all, though. Like, well, if you have a choice, you won't.
Yeah, I don't usually eat before 10 or 11 a.m., period.
Not healthy.
So if I know that, Greg. I'm not saying it's a good thing. So if I do have breakfast food, it's usually like a breakfast for dinner type of deal.
Okay.
So yeah, I prefer lunch and dinner foods. If I were up at like 6 o'clock for some reason, and I happen to be at a restaurant at 9 o'clock that offers lunch options, I'll probably order the lunch options.
Do that
instead.
Well, and that's something that Bridget and I do when we go out for like a breakfast because she doesn't do, she wants a burger. She doesn't do eggs. She's not allergic to them, but
she just doesn't like them.
Well, they make her ill. I've watched it happen. It's not an allergic reaction. It's just a thing. And so we always want to make sure that the menu has she loves soy scrambles. She loves that stuff. She'll do that. Like soy eggs. But yeah, I get that. Some people just aren't breakfast people. I get that. I'm like Ron Swanson. I'll eat breakfast food anytime.
855-752-4842. Breakfast Wars, sweet, savory. That is our discussion today for Audio Sorbet. Brett from Brown Deer is on the line. Good morning, Brett. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Oh, I love this conversation.
How do you feel? Where do you come down on this, Brett?
Oh, do not mix my sweet with my breakfast.
No.
Never. Pancakes, waffles, none of it.
No.
I want my breakfast to be eggs and bacon or sausage.
There it is.
Or I'll just eat waffles. But no, don't mix them. It's terrible.
So you will waffle?
Yeah, but only waffle.
Only waffle, though. Okay.
Will you put syrup or something like that on the waffle, or do you just eat it plain?
Oh, yeah. I put syrup. Okay. I like sweet stuff.
Yeah.
But I keep them separate.
Yeah.
I don't even want to touch my sausage.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, Brett. I'm telling you right now, if I had the money to do it, if I got breakfast and there's a sausage link and syrup touches my sausage, I would throw it out in front of the server and be like, do better.
You guys need one of those plates that's divided into sections.
Yes, that
so
children
none of
have.
Your food touches.
That children have.
That's hilarious. Thank you so much, Brett. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Breakfast Wars. That is our Audio Sorbet discussion for
What's
today.
What's your thought, though, Jane?
But see, I will mix. I love pecan waffles.
Yes. Okay.
Which to then, me, I'll get with a side of bacon.
Well, and to me that's not a, I guess you can say it's sweet and savory, but to me that's more of like a flavory. That's how I feel about what I was saying before, a sea salt caramel type of thing. I get that. That makes sense to me because you have blueberry waffles. You have pecan waffles makes it.
Right.
Pecan Kringle. A lot of people love pecan Kringle.
Sure.
But yeah, but you're also not an egg fan either. So I feel like it
I
does
am
not.
Not.
Yeah.
But see, now I would do French toast.
Yeah.
I like French toast.
There you go.
Again, which is on the sweeter side.
I don't know of savory French toast. Cassandra in the live stream says, and I like this question. So what are your feelings with bacon on everything like cupcakes and chocolate covered? I feel like we've gone too far in the bacon worship. Like, I feel like, first of all, if you look up the history of bacon was a food for poor people. And people make it seem like it's the greatest thing ever. It's not. It's fine. I'm not anti-bacon. Don't at me. But I feel like we've gone too far and we make it seem like it's got bacon. That's not why you should charge me $10 more for this thing. Bacon is bacon. I can buy that at the store. It's not special. Unless it's like that thick cut.
No, see, and I don't like the thick cut.
The thick cut bacon.
That's a whole nother argument.
Where did I go?
855-752-4842. Sweet, savory, what are we doing for breakfast? Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. I got something great to say.
Okay.
The thing is disguise of protein. Like at Taco John's, you have a chicken taco for breakfast with an egg. You disguise the protein with other flavors.
Okay.
It's like a secret agent.
Well, yeah. What did you have for breakfast today? I had a breakfast taco with sausage and egg, all protein. That's good. I'm good for... Tell me I'm wrong, doctors. Thank you very much, Richard.
855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream. Sausage links, maple flavored, and waffles are great together.
Get out of my country.
That sounds really yummy.
No,
Caesar from Madison texting in, Jane, my wife and I will take you guys to Dollop Diner in Uptown Chicago.
Ooh.
They have the best chicken and waffles. You will never want to leave there ever. Ooh.
Calvin, what did you have to say? I saw you pick up the mic.
Well, yeah. I guess controversial take. I don't like sausage links. I think it's the casing. I like a sausage patty.
Do sausage?
Personally.
Well, would you have a sausage? Well, would you have a quote sausage link if it comes in the log form that's not in casing? It's just like a formed sausage, what looks like a link? Because there's difference. There's sausage links that are in casings, and then there are sausages that look like the log shape versus the patty.
I guess I'll take a log shaped as long as there's no casing, but I still prefer a patty.
WBA, are you listening right now to this hard hitting journalism? I mean, second
incredible
first runner up. Yeah. Now I haven't gone out for breakfast in so long.
We might have to go out for breakfast.
Research.
Yeah, exactly.
Research on like the best breakfast. Yes. We have to go to this place that they're
Jacqueline. Jacqueline from HR, if you're listening, she's going to approve the expense. We're doing research for the show, so we're
absolutely, absolutely.
This is for breakfast.
In order to clean people's ears with fun properly, we need to do the proper research.
Well, there's legwork involved.
There's legwork. There's breakfast work. There's things like that. Now exactly. I really want an omelet.
When we return, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing," Utterly Tubular Edition, dude. Stay tuned. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jam-packed show coming up tomorrow. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday after 9:30. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. A great show.
Oh,
you will
gosh,
learn
yes.
so much. And there's a lot to cover with Jim Santel. I'm not even sure where we're going to start. We went on to talk about the U.S. blowing boats out of the water with apparently no evidence. But, you know, there's a lot of things to kick around with Jim Santel.
I think we should start with cocktails first. Let's start with a nice round of
cocktails.
Let's
start drinking. Exactly. Yes, let's start drinking. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Yes. Also tomorrow, Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum will be joining us. They're going to do something special on the streets of Milwaukee for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And James will be talking about the museum's Native American Heritage events. The Native American Heritage Month events, as well as the programming they will have. Great displays there right now. And go see them while you can, because they're currently building that new one.
They're going to be moving.
And it's coming along.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, it's moving along. Yeah. And Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So join us tomorrow, jam-packed show for you coming up. It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. This actually does not fit under the umbrella of this shouldn't be a thing because we kind of love this.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any place to put it, so we put it here. I'm just going to tell you that. Just being honest.
That's the kind of transparency we'd like to see in government, Jane Matnair, you bring into this show.
That's what you get on this program is transparency. This Calvin found from the Manhattan Times.
That doesn't sound made up.
No byline, unfortunately, but the headline reads, "Bear breaks into California zoo to play with other bears."
I love that.
How can you not love that? A young black bear caused quite a stir at Sequoia Park Zoo in Eureka, California, not by escaping,
no,
but by breaking in. Last week, a zoo worker found the wild bear standing curiously, nose pressed up against the fence of the zoo's resident black bears. What followed was a surprising and harmless encounter that left zoo staff and visitors both puzzled and amused. Zoo supervisor Christine Noel said the bear was very polite, stayed on the path, kept all four paws on the ground, didn't try to climb any barriers.
I'm just here to see my friends.
He was just spotted walking through a trail, and then he was seen interacting with the zoo's three resident bears through the fence. Once staff realized the bear wasn't theirs, it's like, how many bears do we have? One, two, three. That would be four.
You have four now. You have four bears
now. We have an extra bear. Once staff realized the bear was not theirs, they started emergency protocols. One employee radioed, is this a drill? No, there we have a loose bear. Not every day they help with crowd control for a bear who doesn't understand, stay behind the railings. Because he was right up against the fence so he could talk to his friends. Thankfully, the wild bear never came into contact with visitors. They believe it's a young bear, about 1.5 years old. Calm, curious, going nose to nose with other bears in what appeared to be polite introductions.
Okay, a few things here. If the bear didn't get to stay there, that's the thing that shouldn't be. This bear should be living there now. Yes, they can. It's fine. They're experts. They'll know what to do. It's a baby bear. And also, it's stories like this that make me want to go pet bears. I'm sorry.
Don't pet bears.
I'm not going to. But when you hear about cute little bears with their nose pressed, you're like, I just want to be friends with them.
Aren't they adorable? They don't want to, they don't want to be friends with you. After playing with some of their toys, a wildlife warden gently guided the bear back into the nearby forest. They're still trying to figure out how it got over the perimeter fence, which is topped with barbed wire. They think he may have climbed a tree and then dropped in accidentally and then found himself on the wrong side of the fence.
I really blame my dog. I don't think I'd have these kind of feelings for the stories like this if I didn't have a dog, because now I'm just thinking of a tiny little bear being all cute, like, I just want to play with my friend. Oh, my God. Okay.
Everything happened. Everything wrapped up well.
Yep.
Everybody was fine.
Good.
Online, locals speculated about the bear's motives, suggesting it was looking for snacks, friends, possibly to be a bear ambassador or ambassador.
Thank you. I'm like, she's not going to pass that up. She's not going to pass that up at all. Oh, that's a good story.
And we love it.
Oh,
we're kind of pro bears visiting bears.
Oh, yes. And come on back to their supervised visits. I don't know. I just want this bear to be part of their lives now.
He can come back.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without all of you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. Then Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwava, 6 to 8, Native Roots Radio, Robert Pilot, and more. Mm-hmm. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.